Recently, I had to take Cheryl up to Miranda to see a specialist. And the specialist's address was in the main drag in Miranda, which happens to be a six-lane road divided down the middle, so lots and lots of traffic, right opposite Miranda Mall. And I Googled it, of course, and found out what block it was in, but I thought, what are the chances of getting parking there? And I don't know where in the block, one end, the other. So on the trip up, I was thinking of that constantly. And when we arrived in Miranda, the very heavy traffic in the middle of the day, and lo and behold, in the block, there was one parking spot, which I immediately grabbed. Stopped the car, turned it off, looked out the window, right there, right at the door of the car, virtually, was the front door of the specialist. Now, that seems pretty inconsequential, but I think God was in that. I hadn't prayed for that. I just thought about it. I didn't actually pray. I believe that was God, not coincidence. Even more so do I believe it was God, because maybe 2 years earlier than that, I had to go and see, have a specialist procedure at Campbelltown Hospital. And I couldn't get an early booking. And I asked when I rang up what the parking situation was like at the hospital. And they said, well, if you get here before 8, that's fine. But after that, best of luck. Now, I had a complication that day because I had two dogs in the car and Cheryl. And they were going to be waiting for me. And we needed a park to walk the dogs in. We needed a shady spot because the dogs weren't going to walk for 2 hours. A shady spot in the car for Cheryl to spend time doing whatever. We got to the hospital. Once again, I hadn't prayed for this. Got to the hospital, one parking spot, right at the door of the hospital, and right next to the door of the hospital was a cafe, so Cheryl could get a cup of coffee. And also right at the door was a pedestrian crossing. Next to where I parked, on the other side of the pedestrian crossing, a huge park. Huge park. Tick, 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 tick. All requirements met. Once again, I believe that was God. Now, there are many, many of these seemingly happy coincidences, very inconsequential things that we go through every day that we miss as being from God. Now, God is not just a God of the great things, the big things, like creation. God is of the small things as well. Who do you think created atoms? God. Who created subatomic particles? God. God is the God of the small things as well as the big things. Unfortunately, we often miss the small things. Like you happen to find your keys that you've been looking for an hour, or your wallet, or your phone, on and on and on and on. Just think who's behind that. The Bible repeatedly emphasises that God is aware of our needs and he's willing and able to meet them. And I don't think any of us would doubt that. So today I want to be looking at God's provision. Now, God's provision, if you read your Bible thoroughly, you'll find that it's generous and abundant. It's not stingy. It overflows. Now, the Bible doesn't suggest anywhere that God's provision is just enough, but it emphasises abundance. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it states, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine." And elsewhere in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, "In him," Jesus, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us," lavished on us, "with all wisdom and understanding, So lavish grace plus wisdom and understanding. That's lavish. So not just redemption. Now that should remind you, as it reminds me, of 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon. God was very pleased with Solomon. He just started his rule as king. He was a very young man. And God spoke to him in a dream and said, ask of me what you want. So open slather. Solomon could have asked for anything. And I think if you know the story, you know what Solomon asked for. Solomon humbly asked for wisdom and understanding and a discerning heart. He didn't ask for fame or power or glory or wealth. He asked for wisdom, for discernment. Because he asked for that, because he was humble, because he wasn't seeking his own glory, God also gave him riches and power and honour. God's timing is perfect. Now often we think, why isn't he answering that prayer? Why isn't he giving me the answer? And I think we realise as we go through our Christian walk, God knows the best time for the answer. We don't. So his provision normally comes not too early and not too late, but at just the right time. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. All of your needs. So God's provision is holistic, covers everything, not just your immediate circumstances, physical, emotional, spiritual. He understands us and he cares for us in every area of our lives. Now, some of the examples of his provision, the children of Israel wandering in the desert in the book of Exodus, and God provided them with manna. God provided them with food. Out in the desert, you probably appreciate not a lot of food out there, especially when you've got well over a million people to feed. So that story is found in Exodus chapter 16. And he provided the manna for them each day. And they learned the Israelites learned to depend on God's daily provision, receiving just enough for each day. And God deliberately made it that way. So the emphasis there, or the message that we read from that, is that God encourages us, them and us, to rely on his grace daily. Now, another example was the feeding of the 5,000. There are many examples of God's provision, but the feeding of the 5,000 is another miracle. In John chapter 6, that you can read, powerful demonstration of his ability to provide, even when the resources that are available seem ridiculously inadequate. And the message we can take from that is, firstly, God is all-powerful and can do anything, even when we see it as impossible. Is what we can take from that is that when we offer what little we have individually, what little we have, he can multiply to meet the needs of many. So some of the principles of God's provision. God provides faithfully. And it's a consistent theme right throughout the Bible, emphasising his faithfulness to meet the needs of his people. Philippians 4, verse 19, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So it reassures us that God's committed to providing for them and us, reflecting his unchanging nature, the same then as it is now and into the future, and that his resources, God's resources, are infinite, not limited. Our second principle is God may, and I would say probably will, provide a different answer than the one we expect when we're praying for something to happen. His ways don't often meet our expectations. The Israelites in the desert, wanting food, got manna. I don't believe that was the food they were expecting. That's the food they were provided. Now this teaches us to trust in God's wisdom and timing, not our own. We don't know everything. He does. So his methods and what he gives are often unexpected. That doesn't mean he's not answering the prayer. He's answering it in the best way. And I think a good example of that is when we look at the story of Joseph. He must have been praying a lot to God through his life and through his story. And he got sold as a slave by his brothers. You can imagine a lot of prayers as he travelled down to Egypt, a foreign country where he didn't speak the language. And he got there and God answered his prayer by getting him employed by the leader of Pharaoh's guard. And he worked there in that house for some time, got very well esteemed. You think, wow, God's looking after him there. And then Potiphar's wife came on the scene and he ends up in jail again. You think, how on earth could that happen? You'd imagine his mind's going around, what are you doing with me? But he was faithful, spent some time in jail, ended up getting out of jail by more of God's miracles, and subsequently became second in charge of Egypt. The only person ahead of him and above him was Pharaoh. Truth is stranger than fiction, I always say that, and that is certainly stranger than fiction. And what was God's ultimate aim? To save his people back in the promised land, to save his people from a famine. All worked out in the end. But along the way, you would wonder why Joseph would remain faithful to a God who didn't seem to be answering his prayers. But he had faith in God. So God's provision is sufficient even when we can't see it. And trusting in God's provision, we're called to trust in it rather than be consumed by worry. Let God do the worry. He knows everything. We know so little in comparison. Matthew 6:31-33, Jesus says, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." As well. So Jesus is telling us, focus on spiritual priorities, trusting that God will take care of our material needs. And that will happen as we align ourselves with his will. Now, these truths about God's provision should encourage us to rely on his faithfulness, to embrace his unexpected ways, not grumble about them, to recognise the sufficiency of his gifts and to trust in his care for our lives. So we're going to go for a little pause in the program now, and I want you to think about, how has God cared for you in the past week or so? So this is your opportunity to contribute to the discussion today. But to begin with, I'll give you some historic examples just to get the ball rolling. You probably are aware that George is getting increasingly frail, and in recent months he's had a couple of falls. Both of them have occurred on occurred on the cherry tree walk. The first fall was probably about 3 months ago. And guess who the first two people to arrive on the scene, guess who they were? A doctor and a nurse. Can you believe that? Is that just circumstance? Really? That's God. That's God. The second fall, also on the cherry tree walk, guess who the first people to arrive were? Two paramedics. Two paramedics. Blows you away when you think about it, doesn't it? But that's God, and he's doing that all the time, and I believe that most of the time we miss it. Most of the time we miss it.
So Ray's asked, how did God care for you this week, or any blessings that you've received this week? And it may not be what you think is directly from God, but through somebody else. Have you been blessed this week from God through somebody else? I had a nice blessing this morning. When we went to take the dogs out for a walk, we noticed at our front door there was this little parcel. And in that parcel were some fresh lemons and tomatoes. And I just thank Marlies for that. I know it was you. Just those little things, you know that that's through somebody else, but they're thinking of you, they're blessing you. People can bless you too, and that's God working through us. We all think our lives are so ordinary, but, things happen that God has organised, and we don't really take much notice at the time. But I'm sure we have those things.
I want to give you an example from the Bible of this and the result of God doing something in your life and this is the story of the healing of Jesus' healing of the 10 lepers that's found in Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to read it to you. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. So the Samaritans were, the lowest of the low, if you like, in terms of the Jews. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to them, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So what I take from this story is it's important to be thankful. It's important to express your gratitude. It's important you let people know of the blessings that you receive. And it challenges us to reflect on how often we take things for granted. And we overlook opportunities to give thanks. We simply miss it. So just like the Samaritan leper, our expressions of gratitude can deepen our faith and our relationship with God and should open doors for further blessings in our lives and the blessings in other people's lives. So let's learn from this story and try to cultivate a heart filled with gratitude in all circumstances. So in conclusion, the Bible paints a pretty comprehensive picture of God's provision, and it's characterised by generosity, timeliness, and an all-encompassing love. God is intimately aware of every aspect of our lives, every aspect, and has promised to supply all that we require. But his ultimate provision, his ultimate blessing, has already been given in Jesus. John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Now, we ask God for many things, but the greatest thing that we could ever receive from him, he has already given. And that's why each Sunday when we meet, we go through this act of remembering what it was that God did for us, sending his only Son to the cross. His perfect, sinless, only Son to be unbelievably badly treated. I just don't think there's a word for it in the English language. The way he was treated prior to the cross and on the cross. And while he was there, he was paying the penalty for your sin and for my sin, multiplied by the entire population of the world ever. That's a lot of sin. That's a lot of badness that he was paying for. The perfect Son of God going to the cross in our place. Now, the emblems that we take are symbolic of bread, meaning his body that was treated so brutally in our place. He took our place. And the juice that we take reminds us of the blood that he shed. And he shed blood before the cross, crown of thorns on his head, very badly beaten in many ways. He shed lots of blood, and then on the cross, that blood was shed for us. And we often sing, wash us whiter than snow. His blood washed us whiter than snow, because having Jesus in our hearts, giving our lives to Jesus, means that when God looks at us, when God views us, he's not seeing us as who we are, and he's forgotten our sins. Our sins are no more. So when he looks at us, he's seeing his Son, because his Son's in our heart. His Holy Spirit's in our heart. We are, in God's eyes, sinless because of what Jesus did for us. So that's what we're remembering when we take the elements. Now, I'm going to pray for these elements now, and ask if a couple of people would help to distribute them, and hold the cup, and we will drink together. So let's just pray now for these emblems. Thank you, Lord, for the humanly unbelievable nature of what it is that you've done for us. And we thank you that for what it means to each one of us, that you died for us. And Lord, while we remember what it is you did for us, I pray that you would help us get the message out to others who don't know you, that you died for them as well, and you love them as well, and you long for them to hold Jesus in their hearts and to belong to you. Lord, help us to be your hands and feet as we work at that task in this place. Thank you, Lord, for these emblems that remind us of what it is that you did for us, that we might never forget. We never forget who you are and what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for that, the greatest gift of all. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.